PT Punkcast is powered by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like you, you know, runners, cyclists, weightlifters, get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/PTP for PT Punkcast to support the show and see if you qualify. We're going to have more details about Health IQ and what it can get you in the show.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pinecast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
There we go. We are live doing the show on the road at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. The show is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation, their mission to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. Find out if a career with Fox is right for you at foxrehab.org. I want to say welcome to UAB, to the students and the faculty in the audience right now. We're bringing you the audience to the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Birmingham, the most populated city in the state of Alabama. I've recently discovered that Greenbow, Alabama is not, in fact, a real town. Tried to go on the Forrest Gump reality tour. It's not actually a thing. UAB, an internationally renowned research university and academic medical center known for its innovative and interdisciplinary approach to education. Home of the UAB Blazers, right, guys? Guarded here by their mascot, Blaze the Dragon. Blaze the Dragon, also something some of the students do on Friday night. We won't say who. Notable Blazers, Sam Hunt, country music star and former UAB quarterback, right? William Bell, Mayor of Birmingham, and Vonetta Flowers, U.S. gold and bronze medalist in the bobsled with the Olympics going on right now. Welcome to UAB, physical therapy world. That was your first round, brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, the single source for PTs, OTs, ATCs, and DCs for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation certification and the equipment needed to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com. So we're going to bring up our first guest. This is the guy who kind of brought us down here. Professor and chair of the UAB Department of Physical Therapy. Also the training coordinator for the UAB Constraint-Induced Therapy Research Group. Celebrating his 34th year at UAB. Ladies and gents, welcome to the show, David Morris. I'm hoping they gave you like a watch or you get the watch on the way out, right? But 34 years, good for you at one location. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, welcome to the show. And we like exchanged emails like a couple of weeks ago and you were like, hey, you want to come hang out? I'm like, Birmingham. Yeah, it's freezing in New York where I live, but let's go to Alabama.
We're up for about anything.
Yeah. I like that. We got students at the end of the day. Instead of just go home and Netflix and chill, you guys came on out. I appreciate that. So tell us about UAB. Why do we come all the way down here and what should everybody who isn't here know about UAB?
Sure. So UAB has a very rich history in physical therapy. We've been offering educational programs for 54 years now here. And we offer a Doctor of Physical Therapy program, a PhD in rehabilitation science with our OT department. And we're opening up our first residency this year in conjunction with our hospital.
It's a big deal.
It is.
That's something that's popping up a lot, you know, more and more. We're recording this just before CSM next week, and that's one kind of hot button issue: is do we go to residencies as the benchmark, as the standard for PT education? I think the consensus is maybe, but even if we wanted to right now, it's still a long way away. But it's good to see you guys are jumping in on that.
Right.
So 54 years as a program is at the PT school.
That is the PT school.
Wow.
Yeah, we opened up before UAB was actually an official university.
You guys were just squatting. You guys are just, I'm gonna pop a tent.
Absolutely, yeah.
We got some goniometers. We'll get a fire going. So tell me about the residency, because it's a PhD residency. There's a lot of things mixed in there. You know, who are you looking for? Who's your ideal candidate?
Well, we're starting out with a neurologic physical therapy residency, and our hope is to very soon move to orthopedics and pediatrics. And there's been talk about cardiovascular pulmonary as well. We're looking for people that are enthusiastic about taking the profession forward. We've got fantastic clinical services here, so we've got all the resources that we need, and we're just looking for experienced people, willing to jump in there.
My first trip to Birmingham, and we were in the Uber on the way over, and I didn't know where I was. So I was like, where's UAB? And he's like, literally, like, all around you. This is kind of like UAB kind of just, I mean, it's the largest employer of the state of Alabama.
That's correct.
I'm learning this not from you or the school's website. I learned this from my Uber driver. So that's cool. You can feel that just in the walk over here and coming from the airport. You know, UAB, I mean, it is Birmingham, and Birmingham is UAB. So it really is, I don't know, feel like me anyway, a college town?
Well, I don't know that I'd call it a college town, but
students are giggling. I don't know.
But as you did mention, it is one of the big economic drivers of the city and the state, really.
So we wanted to talk about the something new that just came out within the APTA. I'm talking new as in like less than a month and a half ago, so at the beginning of the year. An APTA Council on Prevention, Health Promotion, and Wellness was launched January 1 of this year. Let's talk about that. What is it? What should people know about it?
Sure. So this is a new entity that's been developed by the APTA, and it's a council because it crosses all disciplines. So it's not an academy or a section.
It really
provides resources for everyone. And their mission is to convene people with knowledge and desire to really develop and disseminate best practices in prevention and wellness. Yeah. So this group is a very energetic group of people, a mix of young people, people who have been around a while like me.
Seasoned, we call them seasoned.
Seasoned, yeah. That's it. And there's going to be several events at CSM that they're going to be hosting. One is a pre-conference course on Wednesday the 21st. And then on Friday the 23rd from 1 to 3, the council is going to be holding a meet and greet. So they're hoping that people will come around and find out more about the council and what it has to offer. And that will be at the New Orleans Downtown Marriott Convention Center in River Bend 2.
Nice. So this is similar to the Academy of Health Prevention and Promotion. I probably got one of those letters in the acronym backwards.
But
Mike Eisenhardt's group. So that's an academy, but this is a council because it spans disciplines. Is that learning on the fly?
This is within the American Physical Therapy Association.
Gotcha.
Now, the Academy of Prevention and Health Promotion Therapies is actually a multidisciplinary group that is outside of the APTA, but a lot of the leaders in the APTA are engaged in this group too.
So just a show of hands, since we're talking about things happening at CSM, who's going to a combined section? Ooh, wow. Really?
It's New Orleans.
I should probably tell the audience at home because this is like a radio thing. Most of the people raised their hand. That's cool. I am going to shamelessly promote, because this episode will come out before CSM, I'm throwing a party at CSM, and it's going to benefit patients with ALS. There's a guy by the name of Steve Gleason. You guys know Steve Gleason? Yeah. Steve Gleason's organization, Team Gleason, fantastic group. I wound up interviewing a guy by the name of Blair Casey on the show a while ago after I saw his documentary. Literally laying in bed watching his documentary, all the hair on my arm stood up. I was like, I got to call this guy. He got on the phone with me the next day, became fast friends because he seems like a real cool guy. He'll be friends with anybody, even me. And I said, like, listen, me and 16,000 plus of my colleagues are coming to Louisiana. We're coming into your town. We're coming to New Orleans. We got to throw a party. So we're renting out an entire bowling alley. Somehow we got the city of New Orleans to close the block. So we have block party sponsored by Rock Tape. DJ outside. All you can drink. All you can eat. And we're talking like the best restaurants in New Orleans because they're famous for it. All you can bowl because it is a bowling alley. And who would want to do that? Plus, this is kind of cool. We got two wheelchairs from Steve's wheelchair company. So we're talking like thousands and thousands of dollars. Got two of them because he uses eye gaze technology. We're going to have two of them on site so you can get in it, calibrate it to your eyes, and then drive it around an obstacle course. We're going to time you, put your name up on the wall, see who falls where. Winner gets to race Steve. I'm going to rephrase. Winner gets to lose to Steve. He's an expert. So that's going on at CSM Thursday night. That's 2:22, 6 o'clock after all the programming ends. And you can get tickets now because I have a promo code. Write this down. PT Pinecast. Not hard. You don't have to write that down. She must be a really good student. Front row, and she went to write it down. I like that. But that's what it is. It's teamgleason.org/birthday. And the reason it's /birthday is it's actually Steve's birthday month. So if you guys are there, love to have you, and that promo code knocks some money off of it. So that's the way I just slid the old selfless promotion in for the thing. So what else are we talking about?
Well, I did want to mention that we've got 18 full-time faculty in our
department.
It's
a big program. How many students?
We've got 50 in each class. We actually, our first year class is 54.
Wow.
And some of those faculty are mostly research, but they're doing a wide variety of research service and teaching activities. And one of the recurring themes that we have here at UAB is trying to help promote the physical therapist's role in prevention and wellness. So I was hoping that you could talk to several of our faculty about some of those initiatives.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot as the ounce of prevention, pound of cure, but how do we make sure that everybody outside of us, because saying it at CSM, it's not hard to get PTs to rah-rah behind prevention. It's how do we get everybody outside of the CSM and APTA and physical therapy sphere to kind of get behind that, because we know we're cost-effective. We know prevention is fantastic, so how do we do it? What are some of the research things? You mentioned research. With so many faculty, just give me like a quick highlight. What do we have coming up?
Well, we have faculty members that are doing research in gait and balance, falls prevention. We have faculty doing research around physical activity and its influence on all sorts of factors with multiple sclerosis. Of course, you mentioned the constraint-induced movement therapy. It was developed here at UAB.
Yeah.
And we've been studying it here for 30 years now.
Well, you're kind of in charge of that. Talk about it. You can pat yourself on the back. You won't dislocate your shoulder.
I'm not in charge of it, but I have been a member of the team for 22 years now. And my role with the group is to coordinate training programs for therapists around the world, really. So I travel outside the United States teaching a lot.
Nice. How's it changed? I mean, 22 years is a pretty good stretch. What are some similarities from when it started to now, and what are some differences?
There's a lot of differences. Some of the things that we thought worked didn't work so well, and some of the things that we thought were relatively insignificant ended up being some of the real active ingredients. So we have mixed and matched all sorts of components of the protocol, and we're feeling pretty confident about where we are right now with it.
What do we have coming up this show? You want to like do like a tease, like who's going to be talking about what? What people can look forward to? This is what we call sure. this a front tease in radio.
Yeah, that's right. So several of us are going to be speaking at, you're talking about at this show.
Well, you can also do, you can be their hype man. You could be their,
I didn't know if you were talking about CSM.
Yeah, let's talk about CSM. Who's talking there?
We've got several people speaking at CSM. There's going to be five of us talking about a model that we've developed to help educate therapists about integrating what we're calling health-focused physical therapy, so prevention and wellness issues into clinical practice. We've got faculty talking about the physical activity and influence on multiple sclerosis. Jennifer's going to be talking about some of her work with concussion prevention and detection, and they'll be presenting about that as well.
Okay. You're familiar with the show, right?
So this show.
My show.
Yeah, I have.
What, there are it. No other shows, David.
The show.
The show. Okay. Well, the big show. So before we let you go, you have to do, hold on, wait for it. Here it comes. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yep.
This is The Parting Shot. Powered by Optum.
Optum Manual Therapy offers a certification in orthopedic manual therapy and a manual therapy fellowship program.
Now with locations in Dallas,
San Antonio,
Houston,
Scottsdale,
and St. Louis.
If you want to be a certified orthopedic manual therapist or complete a fellowship in manual therapy,
visit them at OptumFellowship.com.
All right, so your parting shot, I usually phrase it this way. You've got one last chance to jump on a soapbox and people are going to pay attention, because for some reason people fast forward to the parting shot. What would you want everybody out there, not only in the room but listening, to know?
I'd like for them to know that even though it's a non-traditional role for physical therapists, that we have a very important role in prevention and wellness and trying to influence our patients' lifestyles. And we're not going to make a lot of money doing it, but it could bring in benefits in a lot of other ways.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do. It's trying to convince somebody that this thing that they can't see or touch is actually valuable and they should be paying attention to it. And I'll tell you, when I was a student, we'd be going through pathologies and the professors would be saying, well, for this patient, education, would lead with education. It kept popping up. I just thought it was a throwaway term. I figured like the professor just needed to fill some space on the slide or something. And I was like, yeah. And then you go out to clinic the first time and you're like, oh, most of my job is talking to people and trying to explain the why and the what to convince them to buy in. To do it. I like that very much.
Exactly.
Dave Morris, everybody.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
All right, so I mentioned this at the top of the show. PT Pintcast is now powered by Health IQ. They're an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like you, PTs, runners, cyclists, weightlifters, swimmers, anything where you move a lot, essentially the thing that we try to get everybody that we work with to do, lower rates on their life insurance. Science. Health IQ can save their customers up to 33% because we know physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And that's science right there. That's from the Canadian Medical Association Journal, a paper from Warburton et al. In 2006. Look it up. It's science, people. Now, Health IQ uses science and data to now take that information and get you a lower rate on life insurance. See if you qualify and get your free quote today at healthiq.com/PTP or mention the promo code PTP, that's for PT Pintcast, when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Again, healthiq.com/PTP.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now.
UAB, where are you? We're shifting from David to Jennifer is on stage, and in between we're doing some vestibular training by spinning her in a chair for some reason. I like that very much.
Oh, yeah.
Up next on the show, an associate professor in the Department of PT here at UAB, a pediatric PT interested in the effects of vestibular dysfunction on development and gaze stability in children. Also interested in identifying tests that are sensitive to change following rehab for concussion-related dizziness and balance problems. Jennifer, Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we were just talking before, and you're doing some stuff at CSM, is that correct? You're doing?
Yes. I have a PhD student. Her name is Anwar. She's from Kuwait, and she's going to be doing a platform for the Academy of Pediatric Physical Therapists, platform presentations, and she is looking at the effects of cerebral palsy on vestibular function.
Yeah.
So
what's your background? What's your story?
I'm a pediatric PT. I went to PT school at LSU in Shreveport. So I was in Sharon Dunn's very first class that she ever taught, and she is amazing. So that was pretty cool.
She's been on the show a few times. She listens to the show, so I'm sure she'll appreciate the shout out. She was actually just posting some pictures on social media of some of her first couple classes that she'd found and was sharing with the world. So I'm about to go back there and see if I can tag you on those.
Oh, yeah. Class of 92.
Class of 92. So concussion research, you have some cool stuff going on here at UAB. David, in the first part of the show, was mentioning the research focus here at UAB. So what's your research story?
We have a really cool lab with a lot of fun toys. And what we are looking at is vestibular function. I'm specifically interested in looking at children who have balance problems or dizziness, or they're having trouble in school, they're having trouble with their motor skills, and a large percentage of those children also have inner ear problems or vestibular dysfunction. Not all of them, but a large percentage do. And so my work has been focused on developing tests that pediatric physical therapists can do in the clinic without super expensive equipment to be able to pick those up and then to be able to refer them to someone who can test them further, but most importantly, to be able to do interventions to help them.
Right, and that brings up, you know, several things that I'm really excited about. Number one, having all the toys is fun. It's just you're not going to see them all over the place. So she's mentioning you guys have toys here at UAB. I would like to come play with them. But you're not.
We would love to spin you in the chair if
yes.
you'd like to come.
Yes, will not end well for me. The other thing is you're making sure that PTs, since we're first line a lot of times, especially with kids. I mean, I worked in pediatrics myself. I was a PT when I got out of school.
I thought so.
Yeah. You said Nerf guns and obstacle courses, and I was like, what? I'm sorry, where? I'll go there. But the idea is, I would have a lot of times parents would come in and say, I'm not sure if I should be here or not, but my pediatrician said so. What can you do? It'd be great to do a lot of different things that were sensitive, and then to be able to do exactly what you just mentioned to make sure they got to where they needed to go. And that's a great role for a PT.
Yes, and a lot of therapists, they think about the neurological system, they think about the musculoskeletal system, but a lot of people ignore the most important sensory system in the human body, which is?
Vestibular!
That's right.
You've got them classically conditioned to make sure they nail that one. Difficult in kids too, right? We build them low because they weeble, they wobble, they fall down. So it's got to be difficult to figure out, is this a vestibular issue or is this just, you know, kids a little bit of a klutz?
Exactly, yes. And we are taking tests and measures that are known to be sensitive and reliable for adults, and then we're doing them for children and we're modifying them so that when the therapist does them, they'll have their own cutoff scores for kids. But that's takes a lot of work because you have to do that for all the different populations.
Right.
So we've done that for children with sensory neural hearing loss, started by the great Dr. Rosemary Ryan, who is my PhD mentor at University of Miami. And we did that, and now Anwar's doing it for children with CP. And we're also doing some work with our athletes to determine some things that might be sensitive for in concussion.
Radio segue, want to go into the concussion discussion, which obviously in the last year and a half, 2 years, has kind of risen to the top in terms of one of the biggest stages with the Eagles just winning the Super Bowl, but on national and international television with football. And now that question, because if you have a kid, no matter how old or young, you're thinking, what are the implications now? You know, if you have a 10 or 12 year old playing soccer or football, what are the implications? So where have things started? Where are things now in terms of concussion with since this is the most important system in the body, vestibular? You know, where are you on that? Like what are your interests? What gets you excited?
Yeah, you know, we thought that we would be finding some peripheral vestibular dysfunction in our athletes just because the problems that they have are related to dizziness, which sounds vestibular, balance, which sounds vestibular, and also blurry vision, which could be vestibular. And so we've been testing hundreds of athletes here with and without concussion, and we still are not... We don't know exactly what's going on with them yet. We are finding some trends. One thing that we're finding is that, and that has been published in one other paper from Pittsburgh, is that it's not the peripheral vestibular system that is damaged in concussion. So that reflex is there. But what we think is that it's a central problem. And so they're not able to use it very well for balance and for keeping their eyes stable when their head is moving. And we're also finding that they're not able to tell, in the absence of other visual cues, upright. So they have trouble with the perception of verticality. And so these are some interesting things. And then, of course, the reaction times and things like that are coming out. But I think there's still a lot of work to be done there. And we want to find out, okay, how do we help them to get back on the field? How do we help them to stay safe?
Yeah. And students, what did we discuss earlier in PT? You think one thing, and then it depends. We thought something, and then we found, it's not 100% that. So keep that up. I think that's definitely not, it's an issue that's definitely not going away, and I think it's definitely an area where PT should be in the discussion. We should probably try to insert ourselves in that discussion a little bit more forcefully, and I have no problem stepping on some toes to do that. So we'll figure out a way for us to do that. Are you a triathlete?
I am a triathlete.
What's your race?
I've done 4 Ironman races.
You should clap for that. Yeah.
And one Ironman I did with as a relay with Susan Herdman and Courtney Hall. We were the Dizzy Docs.
Yeah.
And we raised money for the foundation. We did an Ironman together, and I did the swim, and that's my worst sport.
Yeah.
But
so you took over the team.
I think we still did pretty well.
That's cool. Finished. What courses?
Let's see. My first one was Ironman Canada in 1998. Second one was Ironman Arizona in 2004.
Ooh, it's hot. Yeah.
That was my best one. My third one was Ironman Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
And doesn't exist anymore.
And then 2009. That was hilly and cold.
Yep.
And then my last one was Ironman Florida in 2010.
Yeah, good for you. That's cool.
Now I just do sprints.
I cheated on that one. She's wearing Ironman earrings. So that was a loaded question. No, I've done Lake Placid and Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm doing, fingers crossed, Ironman Maryland this year. So that's why I asked. But yeah, it says a lot because those courses are long. You got a lot of time to think, though, while you're out there. I'm sure you're generating a lot of research ideas while you're on the bike or something like that, right?
I would just get a song stuck in my head and I couldn't get it out.
All right, you want to know what I do to mess around with people? Long distance triathlon, you're on the bike for 5 or so hours. You have to wear a bib with your name on it. And on the bike, typically people spin them around. So as I pass people, I would say, you know, hey, Jen, looking great. And Jen has a song stuck in her head, so she's not paying attention. And she's like, who the hell is that? And how does he know who I am? But that's what I do for 5 hours. I mess with people.
Well, you wouldn't be passing me in the race.
All right, you're right. I didn't say I was going past you. I just meant you were passing me. Are you ready for your parting shot?
I guess.
The answer
yes.
is...
Okay.
The answer is always it depends.
Depends.
It depends. All right, so if you had a moment to jump on your physical therapy soapbox,
okay,
and instead of just the people in the room, it's the entire profession, what would you want everybody to focus on?
I would say get involved in the APTA at a state level and a national level. Yes, get involved, serve your profession, and because it is the most amazing profession in the entire world.
Jennifer Christie, everybody.
Taking IPAs over TKAs. It's the PT Pinecast.
All right, we are still at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. The UAB Blazers are still here. Coming up next, I'm going to show one of my colleagues at Fox Rehabilitation. He is a university relations specialist at Fox. Here's the thing. Once you leave UAB, you likely need a job, right? You got to navigate that real world. So that's exactly what Vince does. You need an electronic version of you. Because before you ever get in the interview room, you're going to have to send over the resume. And Vince sees more than a few resumes across his desk. So we're going to give you a quick six-pack of things that you can do right before you go ahead and do it wrong and blow that job you want. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy.
So resumes, I'm sure you've got some great horror stories. We'll tell those at the brewery later.
Yeah.
We don't want to name any names.
Right.
But you see quite a bit of resumes come across your desk with PTs fresh out of school, PTs who've been practicing for a while, and I'm sure you see some things that maybe they could be doing a little bit better.
For sure.
So we'll give them the quick six-pack, and yeah. where do you want to start?
Yeah, so I think one of the hottest topics right now, a millennial being myself and relating to you guys, right, is going through high school and initial college was keeping your resume to one page, which for me, I'm probably the only person without a PT background in here. Understanding that you guys have multiple rotations that you're going through, it's probably almost impossible at the end of 3 years to keep everything to one page. So the good news is those days are long gone. And that's definitely becoming more of a trend now, with the caveat, it needs to be applicable. So point being, if you have a two-page resume, but half of it is about you being like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout when you were like 12 years old and you have three bullet points, you learned how to make a fire and roast marshmallows, don't do that stuff.
I have merit badges.
You know what I mean?
I have merit badges, Vince.
Right. Yeah, I would leave that off. As long as it's applicable, let it be over a page. I would still say try to keep it to two pages, but nonetheless, I mean, I think that's a really important thing.
Because that was a hard and fast rule 10, 15 years ago. Never, yeah. never more than one page. So I guess
right.
at this point, especially in this very, very specific field, it's okay?
Yeah.
You're cool with that?
Very cool.
All right, where are we going next?
Going next, I would say, maybe I can pose a question. So just real quick, how long do you guys think a recruiter typically looks at a resume before they decide to toss it off?
Shout it out. 2 minutes?
2 minutes. Wow. Actually, the first couple guesses were spot on. 5 seconds, 6 seconds is actually how long it takes. So reason I bring that up is the importance of what's going to be that first thing that we're seeing on your resume, and that's going to be obviously right underneath your name, what we like to call a professional summary. And one of the things that, again, is kind of a hot topic, things that are changing, is a lot of people grew up thinking I need to have an objective statement. That can go. Forget the objective and start, let's like focus on what you guys do and what you've accomplished thus far. Keep it to 15 or 20 words, but that's going to be that one thing that really sticks out to an employer and says, well, let me keep reading on to this resume and see what else they got. So I think that's really important.
So the take-home point here is reading resumes is a lot like Tinder. They're going to look and swipe left or right very, very quickly. So get to the point.
Yeah.
Lead with your strengths.
Yeah.
Where are we going next?
So I think even in relation to this professional summary, you need to pay special attention to catering your resume to your employer. Horror story. We'll bring it up, right?
Let's do it.
With this professional summary, or actually, let's just say it was an objective, because that's what it was. You say, I want to work as a physical therapist for Fox TV. And, you know, we're Fox Rehabilitation. That's a big problem. Or Fox, any sort of other Fox healthcare, and you're not realizing the actual company that you're using this resume for. So you want to do that initial research, analyze your company, make sure that you have a specific resume that caters to the company that you are applying for. Because again, in that 6 seconds, if it doesn't say Fox Rehabilitation, it says Fox Health or Fox TV or Fox whatever, gone, forget about it. So definitely want to cater your resume to your employer.
So the Tinder analogy would be, don't call the girl or guy the wrong name.
Yes, yeah.
Make sure you've got it down. We got two more.
So another big question right now is, what do I do if my GPA is a 3.0 or below? Let's say below 3.0. If it's 3.0 or above, obviously plenty to be proud of. Throw that on the resume. If it's below 3.0, My suggestion, and I think as a profession people would agree, it is okay to leave that off of your resume. Because what you don't want is for an employer to look at a 2.8 or 2.9 and immediately rule you out because they have certain restrictions on, I need to have someone who's a 3.0 or higher. Let that employer call you because they like everything else they see on your resume and say, oh, by the way, I didn't see your GPA on here. I mean, what was that? And then you might explain to them, it was a 2.8 or 2.9. But have your story ready about that, right? I mean, I was listening to a couple students talk earlier about how the first year is tough. You might not start off hot with a 4.0 your first year, but maybe gradually as you begin to adjust, your GPA will get better and better. That's your story, right? And that's what matters. I mean, if you're progressing and showing that you're understanding and getting better in PT school, that's what matters. So don't let that initial resume look and not having a 3.0 rule you out.
Final suggestion in the six pack, what do we have?
Really simple, but we'll talk about fonts real quick because this is another horror story.
It's the F word. You got to pay attention to fonts.
Yeah, this is another horror story, but just in general, right? I mean, it's about professionalism. You want your resume to really cater to you, reflect who you are, but having like the really big block at like the upper left-hand corner with the six like really crazy first letter of your name
old
and then
gothic.
It's all yeah. And you know, it's in cursive. We don't need any of that. So try and keep it simple. Which is what you've learned, and fortunately that's one thing you can carry through all of your life, you know, 10 to 12 point font, try and keep it at, you know, Arial or Times New Roman, classic stuff, but that's definitely important.
This happens enough that you have to bring it up.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
a big problem.
That frightens me. All right, so the review on that one, old Gothic, century Gothic, no. Chiller, no. Also Wingdings, very confusing. They have no idea what you're talking about. They're not decoders.
Right.
Fox Rehabilitation, we have positions pretty much all up and down the East Coast.
Very true. Right now Fox Rehab, I mean, we are operating throughout 16 actually different states, all throughout the East Coast. We span out as far Midwest to like the Ohio, Indiana area, down south here. We just branched into Georgia, and Alabama is definitely on the forefront, so we're excited to branch our way into Alabama.
The website?
Foxrehab.org.
And if you want to reach out to Vince and not use Chiller in the font to email him, email address?
Vincent.Gavigan, G-A-V-I-G-A-N, @foxrehab.org. And for you folks that are here today, I mean, I have my business cards with me and everything, so we can meet up afterwards.
It's here for Vince, making sure you don't screw up.
Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
PT Pinecast is brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offers continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding student internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what the IHL can do for you and support your professional development. Go to brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPinecast at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPinecast for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.